Peter Becker Community is running an online charity auction. The funds that we raise will be used to help community services such as fire companies, police departments, emergency services, food pantries, homeless shelters, and other places that have real needs. If you'd like to see the auction and participate and help your neighbors in this region, go to www.peterbeckercommunity.com. www.peterbeckercommunity.com.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And this morning we are welcoming Paul Nye from Peter Becker Community. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me here today, Renee.
Thank you for being here. For those who do not know, Paul is the Vice President of Mission Support at Peter Becker Community, which is located in beautiful downtown Harleysville. It's a continuing care retirement community, and it's just beautiful there, Paul. If anyone has never visited, it's definitely not what I think of when I visit a retirement community. It's like a country club. I already told my husband I want to retire there, like now, but it's really beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. I think that we put a lot of effort, and historically, folks have put a lot of effort into making it be a beautiful surrounding that people can come and live. Peter Becker was founded about 45 years ago, so we've had a while to work on the landscaping and get it to a lovely place, you know, level.
It is lovely.
Thank you.
And it looks like it's a whole bunch of neighborhoods put together. You feel at home because it feels like a community. It feels like a neighborhood.
That's real important to us and has been an important part of the Peter Becker community. It's not new to the last few years, where this is the resident's home. It's not a facility. It's not an organization. It's their home. So, yeah, we have different neighborhoods, we call them. Nice names like Woods Edge or Maplewood Estates or Ridgeview or Crescent Meadows. But each of the neighborhoods has its own personality, the types of building, the types of housing. Some of them are apartments. Some of them are ranch houses. Some of them are what we call quads. There are different styles of structures, and it does become a series of neighborhoods where people get to know their neighbors and share experiences and get real comfortable because, as I say, we don't want it to be artificial place where you come as a patient. We want you to come there as a guest and a homeowner and see it as your home.
As I go to a networking group that's held at Peter Becker each week, I see how active the seniors are. And I see there are all these different options, like you said, quads or apartments or little cottages. So it's nice that you have different offerings probably for different needs and different people.
Yes, we try to call it, see it as a menu. Lots of different options. If you go to the restaurant, you might order a steak, you might order a hamburger, you might order pasta. There are lots of things on the menu. And in a similar way, we try to offer a variety of options, both in the places that people live and also a full menu of activities and options for the things that they might care to do. At Peter Becker Community, you might come and do activities from 6 o'clock in the morning, literally, until midnight, different kind, whether it's bowling or cards or clubs or trips, all sorts of things we could talk about. But you could be busy all day, or you might choose to relax quietly in your apartment, in your house, with a cup of coffee and watch the news and enjoy your dog or cat, whatever the case might be. So The opportunity to live life according to your own needs, your own interests, and so I'm back to that term menu. We try to offer options in neighborhoods and in services.
That's really great, and I hate to bring it all back to food, but you have fabulous food. Speaking of a menu, eating there once a week, I can't wait. Just fabulous food. It's not like you envision a tray being delivered to a room. It's real delicious chef-made food.
Yes, thank you very much. We are award-winning. I'll just throw that in, but For those who would be listening to this program, there are various public options where people can come and enjoy that food, whether it be a lovely Sunday brunch with the shrimp and the roast beef carved and all the accompaniments that you might envision with a nice buffet, or you can go to the cafe and you can get wraps and salads and comfort food. And on our campus, then, there are three different restaurants. One is called The Cafe, Seasons Cafe, and that's open to the public. Another is called Courtyard at the Ridge. It has a little bit of a different ambiance, but it's open to the public. And if you want some real good homemade food, that's a terrific place to go. And the third place, which is where you often come to regarding the networking group, Renee, is called Garden View Dining Room. And there is a highly qualified chef, many qualified, experienced cooks, and we do certainly put out a variety of products. And again, all of the food in those places is ordered from a menu. So if you're looking for macaroni and cheese and stewed tomatoes, you can get that.
Oh, good.
If you're looking for filet mignon, you can get that. And if you're looking for anything in between, the odds are you'll be able to get that too.
I'll see you tonight at 5, Paul.
I will be there.
But I love the cafe. It reminds me of a French cafe and all the open windows. There's tons of light. It's such a beautiful, light, airy facility and welcoming and warm. And I think it's wonderful. I almost think the 75 is the new 55 there. And it must be where the senior trends are going. They're much more active.
Yes, yes, folks are. And coming back to your cafe just momentarily, you know, in the good weather, you can sit out on the porch. In the chilly weather, there's a fireplace. There's a salad bar and sandwich bar, et cetera. So I can understand how you would like that particular part of the campus. But the trends are changing. Life around us is always changing. And so the aging process and the trends in aging is constantly in transition, too. And people often are more active into later years than they might have been 10 or 20 years ago. People enjoy a lot of activities, brain stimulation, entertainment, that sort of thing. People, even in their mobility, are able to get around and do many things many folks are able to that might not have been so mobile had they had some of the same challenges some years ago. So there are all sorts of trends in healthcare and insurance, in when people move in, how long they stay. And those are the kinds of things that any senior care organization needs to pay attention to and look at. And you might find some variations at other senior care facilities, organizations in our region. But everyone needs to pay attention to that so that we can provide the best services and meet people where their needs are and where their wants are.
No, I think that's wonderful. So do you have to, you know, because the facility is so beautiful, do you have to have a lot of money to get into there?
Well, that's a question that I'm happy to have asked, because unfortunately it would seem that too often people just assume that you have to have a multitude of financial resources to live at Peter Becker Community. And I'm going to go back to that menu or that neighborhood conversation and say that we have a variety of different facilities. And if you would like to live in a neighborhood that some folks would consider very upscale, with granite countertops and wall-to-wall carpeting, hardwood floors, and all the accoutrements that you would look for in those kinds of situations, we have that as an option, yes. And it can be more pricey than some of the other options that we do offer. But you can also come there and have a lovely one- or two-bedroom apartment or a ranch house. And without being too specific, often people are shocked at how affordable the options are. What it really requires is taking time to make a phone call, taking time to just inquire, because it's not a good assumption in this particular case to say, gee, it's expensive, it's for people who have lots of money. We try to make things work, and we have a great cross-section of folks, which makes life enjoyable while we're there as a community together.
No, that's great. And you're right. You can't make any assumptions. So I did notice, you know, Peter Becker has that continuing care retirement community. So are folks able to graduate within the community if they need additional health care or such?
Well, it is. They do, in your words, graduate. And the good news is, in our case, they can go back and forth. They don't just go forward. If they need additional care for a while and things progress in a very positive way, then they can go back to where they started. So yes, we have several levels of care and several different options. One is called residential living, and that's where people live entirely on their own. We joke about that we wonder, you know, what's happening out there in the cottages or other places, because sometimes we might not see people for months. They're just independent people. They don't particularly participate in activities or opportunities, and that's perfectly fine. But residential living is when you live on your own, up to two people, a person and their spouse, a person and their relative, whatever the case would be. And we have that. We also have what is called personal care. And that is when a person needs some additional help with daily living. They might need help with getting dressed occasionally, with bathing occasionally, with making sure that they take their medications on time. This is not a person who is not mobile. These are people who are up and around and about but can use some additional help to stay as independent as possible. And we have opportunities and neighborhoods in our community for that. Then we have skilled nursing. That's for folks who need exactly what it says, who need skilled nursing, certified nursing assistants, lots of care, bathing, dressing, maybe not in all of their activities of daily living, but in many of them. We also have a dementia care, memory care section of Peter Becker Community. It's called Larkspur Lane, and that's for folks who are dealing with memory issues. And so, for instance, if a person is living in residential living and they happen to fall down and break their hip so they can't stay living independently on their own at that time, they can go to either personal care or our rehabilitation area or skilled nursing, get the care they need, and once they're feeling better and they're able to be more mobile, then they go back to residential living. I didn't mention, and I would like to make sure that I do, that we have a wonderful rehab section of our services, and we focus on certainly joints and breaks and that sort of thing, but we have vocational and occupational and speech therapy, along with other kinds of therapies as part of our rehab organization. So yes, you can come and go and move back and forth, and that's what makes it continuing care. And it's especially nice too, Renee, that if, for instance, I fell and needed to be in skilled nursing and I and my spouse had been living in residential living, she can continue to live in residential living and come visit me while I'm recovering. Or if it became a long-term situation, she would still be there right on the same campus. So it allows for the continuity and the ability to be close to each other should your circumstances change.
I think that's great. So what would be the average age, would you say, that lives there at Peter Becker Community? Because, you know, I used to think 40 was older, and then I used to think 50 and then 60. And now I see these seniors and they're 75 and they're 80 and they're active. And I just think it is awesome. And
I'm able to tell you that just off the top of my head that the average age of residents of Peter Becker is 83 years old.
Okay.
Now, we're blessed. We have folks who are 100, 101, 102, 103, more than one person as a centenarian. I guess that's reflective of their good genes and
good
their
living.
Good care and good living. And we have folks who are 60, 65. So, you know, it all averages out. But the actual mathematical average would be 83.
Shoot, I have to wait a few years. Okay, that's where I was going with that. But the one thing that I think that comes to mind is that families must feel secure when their parents or grandparents are in Peter Becker, or not only just the individual, but knowing that your family member is being taken care of and they can get the rehab that they need or the skilled nursing, or once they're well again, they can move back with their spouse. I think the security and peace of mind knowing that is priceless.
I think you've put your finger on an absolutely huge issue. What is the cost? What price do you put on peace of mind and security? You know, as you age or in other circumstances, sometimes changes take place and you lose this, you lose that. There are challenges. But to know that you have the peace of mind that if you're the resident, you'll always be taken care of and be taken care of well, or if it's mom or dad or whoever it would happen to be, that peace of mind, you cannot put a price on. And I think it is not because I work there, but I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that a person will not have to move, not have to worry about being taken care of if something befalls them. And peace of mind is a big deal.
It is a big deal. I've seen parents of friends who've moved into an independent apartment, but once something happened, they didn't have that option of the skilled nursing and the continuing care, and then they'd have to move their parents again. Just having that security that you know your parents or grandparents will be taken care of, I think is huge. It's just as big for the individual and the family. So
absolutely. Yeah. If my parents were alive, I would want them to be in a place like that where I knew that they would be well taken care of and that they have that place to live forever. It's a terrific thing.
Me too. And I hope that my parents are that forward thinking that they can have a plan in place such as this. Looking at the options, don't assume that you know the pricing, and really do your research and your homework on these menus that you speak of. So I think that's wonderful. And I have heard that Peter Becker has a benevolent fund where they raise monies to help for further care if an individual is unable to, I guess, pay for their care. So can you explain that?
Sure. It is called the Benevolent Fund, and that's the money, the financial resources that are raised to help people who, through no fault of their own, no longer have the financial resources to be able to afford the services that they need. Those services might be simply having a roof over their head and having a home. They might be include medical care. They might include horrible medical problems, opportunities and needs also. But the Benevolent Fund is a fund we have that helps people who have not spent all their resources in the Bahamas or on giving away a $20,000 car to their grandson or whatever, but for people who, and it, there's lots of reasons, people are living longer. Many of the folks who are 100 years old never planned on living to be 100 year
That's
old.
True. That's another senior trend they didn't mention.
Yes. Yeah. The medical bills are higher than they used to be. And so, again, people who worked hard all their lives and saved money can find themselves not having the resources they need at today's medical prices. The stock market, the economy, there are all sorts of reasons why people might not have the financial resources that they had expected to have at this point in their lives. And so we do take care of those folks when they've come to Peter Becker and have been residents there. We raise the money in various ways through campaigns, through appeals, through special events, a variety of things, but we raise that money so that we can help them. We have a number that's almost astronomical without going into too many details. We call it the Benevolent Fund expenses that include expenses and unreimbursed funds, the services that we render that were not paid for. And last year, that was $1.2 million that we provided, care that we provided for people who could not afford to pay for that care. So it is a significant investment and commitment. I like that word better. Mm-hmm. It's a significant commitment on our part that these are family, these are people who trust in us, and we need to be there for them.
Not all communities do that. And I just think it shows the compassion and the mission statement, which you are Vice President of Mission Support, but that shows the mission of Peter Becker Community. To support its people when they can't.
Absolutely. That's part of our mission and our commitment. And whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual needs that they have, we want to be there. That's part of our vision and our mission. And we try to carry that out no matter what neighborhood, no matter what your circumstance is, because we're fortunate to have folks who have made a commitment to us, and we return that commitment to our residents.
You really do. And I know Peter Becker Community has an auction each year to raise monies, and that doesn't necessarily go back to the Peter Becker residents. It goes back to the community. Where can you tell us where those funds go to, like the fire departments? And
exactly. And having worked at Peter Becker for 8 years, I've often struggled with the word community, because when we talk about community in this case, we're not talking about Peter Becker Community. We're talking about the people who live in this region, people who live and work in the North Penn Indian Valley area. And yes, we have an auction. Individual donors, many businesses donate items. It's an online auction, which means any of your listeners can participate in that auction. They don't have to show up. They don't have to pay a fee. All they need to do is go online and look at our auction, which I'll talk more about. But the funds then go to approximately 30 services like fire departments, police departments, emergency services, food pantries, handicapped accessible playgrounds, battered and abused women protection, all sorts of nonprofit vital services. When the money comes in through that auction, we do not keep that money. We turn every penny of that money around and give it back to these organizations that have been designated. And because we get the items for the auction from merchants and people living in the region, it becomes a real opportunity for people to help in a different way.
Giving back to their community, paying forward, and hopefully it pays forward for Peter Becker also. So please tell us the website where we can go and bid, because we know in marketing that's the shopping trend to shop online. So
absolutely. Yeah. Our website can be most easily accessed by going to the Peter Becker homepage, which is www.peterbeckercommunity.com. And there's a banner on that webpage that says click here to access the auction. So it would be www.peterbecker.com, and go to the banner and it says click here to access the auction. Right now, the auction is not yet open at the time that we're having this conversation, but there are approximately 300 exciting items on that auction that you can view, and there'll be approximately another 150 items coming to that auction site in the next few weeks.
When does the auction start? When can we start bidding?
The auction actually starts on November 2nd.
Okay, we're coming up on it, because I remember, I think it was last year, the year before, I donated items and then I was bidding against someone else. I wanted my own items back, and there I am at midnight hitting the button as hard as I could, and here I got beat out, and then I was getting text messages, I got your item. So it's,
well,
really fun.
Your description is appropriate, because people enjoy doing it. It's fun. It's not complex or complicated, but while you're having the fun, you know that you're helping provide, in one case, vests for police departments, in another case, equipment for the fire company, in another case, food for hungry children who live in our region. So while you're having the fun, you know that you're also doing something wonderful for people who really need our help.
That is the best part of it, giving back for sure. So today we are proud to have Paul Nye here from Peter Becker Community, a continuing care retirement community. Paul, can you tell us again one more time your website, and if somebody would like a phone number to get in touch to check out that menu of services that you mentioned?
Absolutely. Our website is www.peterbeckercommunity.com. And if someone would like to make a phone call, they can certainly call me, Paul Nye, at 215-703-4015.
We appreciate you being here. Thank you, Paul. And
Thank you.
Please join us again for The Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing. Have a good day.
Be my source. Be my life. Jesus.
Peter Becker Community is running an online charity auction. The funds that we raise will be used to help community services such as fire companies, police departments, emergency services, food pantries, homeless, shelters, and other places that have real needs. If you'd like to see the auction and participate and help your neighbors in this region, go to www.peterbeckercommunity.com. www.peterbeckercommunity.com.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 talents warns us that not investing the master's talents because of fear is wrong. Doing nothing can be a sin.
So what are the consequences of doing nothing?
In this parable, the first thing we see is that the Lord is not pleased. The one talent is taken away and given to the one that has 10 talents. Finally, the unprofitable servant is cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow, that sounds harsh.
It certainly does. Now, none of us is a perfect steward, but if you feel like you are just coasting along and it's time to make some changes, please call our office at 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and this morning we welcome Doug Floro. Doug is a certified financial planner and president of MFB Wealth Management. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Renee. It's great to be with you.
Yes, thank you for being here. Glad to have you. For those who do not know, Doug is an investment advisor representative and offers securities and advisory services through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated and is member of FINRA and SIPC. So good morning, Doug. I'm very curious. Well, first of all, I love MFB, my father's business. I have to say it's one of my favorite names for a business.
Yeah, it really has a dual meaning. The one meaning is from Luke 2:49, where Jesus says, "I must be about my father's business." And it's also always been a dream of mine to have a family business. Family's so important. We also spend a lot of time when we're at work. And if there was just some way to incorporate that in together, I just think of that as being a really good idea for a way to have a good quality family time, labor together, and just spend time together.
So how did you get to where you are today? Tell us your story.
Well, it's an interesting journey. It really started out being blessed and being born into a Christian family. My dad was an executive with a large insurance company in New York, so I had a good solid background in finance and a good solid background in faith and learning the importance of the Bible. And I was wired a certain way. Do you know what I mean, Renee? How people have natural gifts and abilities.
Absolutely.
That sometimes you're just really surprised.
Yes.
Like one thing that really surprises me are people who love doing taxes, but there's people that love doing taxes. I don't love doing taxes, but as a 9-year-old, I would sit and read the financial section of the New York Times to try to figure out where the highest interest rate was, because I had my own little savings account.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'd look at all those symbols and charts and try to figure out what all that stuff meant. And I'm still trying to do that today. But I'm just wired that way. I've just I had a natural gift in that area. And, you know, you can learn things and there's natural ability. Part of my testimony, if I can put it that way, is when I became a teenager, I walked away from all those things. I walked away from my family and their values and my natural ability in finance and from faith, and just wanted to do things my own way. And needless to say, that didn't work out so great, but God had his hand of protection over me. And then when he opened my eyes to the truth, he also began to restore some of those natural abilities that he had given me. And I was given an opportunity to work for a Christian financial firm in Berks County. And I learned not only the importance of good stewardship, but also the practical part of what happens when somebody's trying to save for a college education, trying to save for retirement, of how to stay retired, and have a good balance in their life with their finances. There's a lot of different things that are pulling on us. 5 years ago, we opened the doors of MFB Wealth Management. I have family members involved in the business, so it's kind of that dream come true. And one of the greatest things is just the clients that we get to meet and get to work with, and we have a common biblical view of what's important in life, and that means a lot.
Absolutely. If you think of how many people have strayed in their teenage years, and thankfully God does pull us back in, and hopefully we're open to listening to God and hearing what our gifts are and applying those. And I think it's amazing that you're such a strong numbers person. I think I'm more of a visual creative person. So I guess it's that left brain, right brain part of it. And I also feel that MFB Wealth Management, it feels like you've been around longer than 5 years. You're so engrossed in the community and helping and networking and such. It seems much longer than five.
Yeah, that's something that we really take seriously is giving of our time, resources, our talents to the community, to reaching out to people. You know, we all have the same amount of hours in a day. We got the 24/7, 168 hours a week, and there's a lot of things pulling on us. Same thing with our finances. You know, we have a certain amount of income or of resources, but there's always a lot of things that are pulling away at us. My sister-in-law told me years ago that she sorts the mail by pay me, buy me, give me. So obviously, you know, we want to pay our bills, and we do buy things, but you can't buy everything everybody's offering. And a lot of people ask you to give, and that takes some wisdom as to how to balance that out. Sometimes we also need to help our family members. It may be children, maybe grandchildren, it may be our parents, could be a sibling. You know, those are all important things. So we deal a lot with those kind of issues with people, of just trying to have that balance in their lives with their finances.
I think that's wonderful. And I think too many people say, I'll pay later. That,
right.
That's not a pile we should probably have, or no, having that plan to properly delve out our resources and things. But, you know, today I do want to talk about a balanced life, using our time, our treasure, our talents, and our opportunities wisely. And I think it's wonderful to have you here, and tell us your thoughts on how do people balance their priorities financially?
That's great. Yeah. I've done a lot of studying on it. I've been taught a lot on the subject. I practice it myself. I've seen other people practice it. So we have a certain biblical way of ordering our finances. And I didn't come up with this. I'm not the originator again. These are things that I've learned from other people and from practical experience. But in my life, my first priority is honoring God and putting a portion aside for that. So that's a matter of priority, whether you believe that it should be a certain dollar amount or it should be a certain percentage. I believe we have the freedom to decide that. But to be consistent, I think that's the important thing. Unfortunately, a lot of people get hung up on, I have to do this percentage or this dollar amount, and they fail for a week, and then they just quit. So I think it's important to be realistic and to come up with, people don't like this word, but it's a budget or a cash flow worksheet. Certain words that people don't like, we don't like the word budget. Most people don't like the word diet. you know, and those types of things. But a budget is simply money coming in and money going out. There's only two sides. And whether you have a really tight budget or you don't even think about it, everybody has a budget because everybody has money coming in and money going out. It's just the quality. Same thing with a diet. Let's face it, everybody's on a diet. A diet is what you eat. It may be high quality, it may be great quantity or little quantities, and you may be totally unaware of it, but everybody's on a diet. So it's the same thing with our finances. Everybody has some kind of budget, whether you're looking at it or not. That first priority really orders everything else. The second priority is to save. Most people don't realize that, but if you do not put money aside for expenses that are coming up short term, put money aside for expenses that are coming up long term, and by that I mean maybe there's a wedding coming up, or you have a child that's going to be going to college or retirement. That's not just going to happen by itself. I really believe in discipline in what we do. And repeating good habits over and over again has good results. Bad habits over and over again, you're almost guaranteed that you're going to fail. So that's part of planning, is to save certain amount of money for short term, certain amount for long term. The next priority is paying your bills. And people say, well, Doug, why don't you pay your bills first thing? Because what often happens, people say, I pay the bills and there's nothing left to save. There's nothing left to give. So if you make a priority of putting something aside for that rainy day, anybody who owns a car or a home knows that surprises come along. You need a tire, you need a heater for your home, and you need to put that aside. So paying our bills is very important. It's part of our reputation. And when you make an agreement, you want to keep your word. The fourth priority, and again, there's five of them if I didn't say that. The fourth priority would be looking out for the needs of others. Having something to be able to give to those in need. And then the last one is luxuries. Again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying some of the good things of life once you've taken care of those other priorities.
Yeah, no, that sounds like an excellent list. And I think if we go back to budget and diet, I think sometimes people feel if they write it down, they then have to be held accountable for it. Yes. And I think some people are afraid of that accountability.
That's true. And I've met with thousands of people over the last 15 years, and there's different ways that things work for people. Mm-hmm. Some people write everything down. Some people use an Excel spreadsheet. Some people use envelopes. Some people use six or seven different savings accounts. If it's working for you, great. I'm not going to say, no, you have to do it this way. But you know what? If it's not working, it's time to make some kind of change and maybe try another system. And again, it's a habit. It's a habit. You just keep building up that habit. For some people, it might be using cash for everything, you know, and that's an interesting thing too. Just to give you an example, we all go, I'm not going to say all, but most people at some point in the month probably go to Walmart or someplace like that. And you go and you purchase some paper towels and some dishwashing detergent. And you see this and you grab it. You go up to the counter. I don't care if you have a debit card or a credit card. When you go and you swipe it, you typically just walk out the door and don't think anything about it. If you're using cash and you open up your wallet, you're going to say, well, how much am I going to have left in my wallet if I buy this stuff? So certainly you're more in touch with a debit card than a credit card because you don't want to run out your bank account. But just using cash can be a good way to keep things more under control.
I think that's scary.
Yeah.
Cash is scary. It seems more painful.
Yeah. Well, our culture is moving away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is marketing, because people spend more money when they use plastic than when they use cash.
Not those marketing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? They've even found that people spend more money if, you know how you can swipe a card, or you can use that smart chip where you just wave it. People are even less aware when they just wave it rather than swiping
it. They feel more powerful when they just wave something in the air, and it's like they can walk out the store.
Store with most anything, yeah.
I know. True. It is crazy. I think it surprises me that people, you talked about saving being number two, but the people that do not have a retirement savings, I don't know if we're living in the now. What is going on with this?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It's surprising.
And to bring it even maybe a shorter time period, working with people that, let's say, are 30 years old, and they have a couple of small children. Retirement is 30, 35 years away. What about college? And they'll look at their 4-year-old and their 6-year-old and go, oh, that's so far away. That 10, 12 years can go in the blink of an eye. And just that little bit of discipline of putting a little aside each month towards that, not only does that help to save, to pay, because I think we all know that student loan debt is a huge problem in our country. There's more student loan debt in the United States now than there is credit card debt.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's a huge issue. Huh. But not only that, you're telling them, yes, you're going to go to college someday. You're reinforcing that, you know, we have this goal and we're being proactive and starting to plan for it. So, again, it's discipline. Pensions are becoming few and far between. Mm-hmm. But most employers of any size have some kind of 401k, 403b, or different type of thing. The important thing is to put something away out of each paycheck. And the thing is, if it comes out of the paycheck, people don't miss it. Mm-hmm. Because,
true,
you know, they have their net paycheck, and hopefully that's going to grow for them. Mm-hmm. And good companies match part of it, and just taking advantage. Just these simple little steps. There's no magic wand. There's no secret formula. It's just repeating good habits over and over again.
Do you think the younger generations do understand the importance of savings and putting away? I mean, these next generations that are coming out of college with that high debt?
I think they're very frustrated. Certainly the economy has been extremely difficult, particularly since September of 2008. From my world, the markets have come back very well, you know, for people that have remained diversified, invested, and continued to add to their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been difficult for employment. It's been difficult for I feel bad for a lot of folks that did everything right and put down a nice down payment, but happened to buy a house in 2006 or 2007. And it puts a lot of pressure because the value of that big asset has dropped, and it has not come back. It's come back some.
Some, but not fully.
And it depends upon the neighborhood. You know, real estate's always a local kind of market.
True.
So I feel particularly bad for folks like that, young people who did it right, and just because of timing.
Well, hopefully, you know, you're able to help guide them through those challenges also.
Yep.
So what examples can you give us of short-term and long-term goals that would help us?
Sure. A good short-term goal is you have a car that's got 100,000 miles on it, and you know that in the next couple of years that you're going to need to replace that, you start saving for it. Rather than just going from one car payment to the next car payment. For those that are homeowners, I'm a big fan of prepaying your oil. I think a lot of people in our area have oil. I've done that for probably the last 20 years or so. It didn't work out last year because the price of oil went down. But
out of 20 years, that's not a bad record.
Yeah, every other year, it's been a good thing because typically oil will go up during the winter. That's another great example of how things can change and you don't expect it.
So true. You can't predict it.
You cannot predict it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's a good example. Paying your car insurance once every 6 months rather than monthly. You save some money on that. Saving up for a vacation. Those are all the shorter, intermediate term types of savings.
Paying your taxes off on time versus deferring those. I think there's some savings there.
Yes, there is. So those are all examples of shorter term savings. Okay. You're always going to have your monthly bills. You know, you're going to have your electric bill and your internet phone package or whatever it is. You're going to have those ongoing expenses, but you know, you don't want to be racking those up on a credit card.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. So how about some long-term goals?
Yeah. Longer-term goals. Again, a great satisfaction for me is seeing a young couple save for their children's college education and get them through 4 years of college without debt. So that's a longer term goal, depending, you know, if you're starting when they're 16 years old, it's a little rough. If you start when they're 4 years old, you know, that's a realistic goal. Obviously retirement, that's a big one. Social Security was never intended to pay for somebody's full retirement. It was always planned to be supplemental. And obviously there's some pressure on the Social Security system. But if you're thinking that that's what you're going to get by on, you're not being realistic. And I know people say, oh, I'll just work the rest of my life. That might not be a choice that you'll have.
Absolutely.
Things happen in life and maybe you won't be able to work.
Are they saying that Social Security will last till 2034? Is that?
Yeah, they keep shortening that up. Mm-hmm. And if you look at your Social Security statement, it has a bit of a disclaimer there. It's projecting you're going to get these amount of dollars, but guess what? That might be reduced. My opinion, Social Security is not an impossible or even super difficult fix because they've already made adjustments in it. Years ago, it was at age 65 is when you collected Social Security. A number of years ago, they've changed it now, and most folks now will be age 67 when they can collect full Social Security. I do believe there should be means testing. I'll pick on Warren Buffett. I don't think Warren Buffett should need to collect Social Security. I think there should be some kind of testing in there. Mm-hmm. And I think that they can fix with some of those changes. As I said, they've already made some changes. The big hole in the ground is Medicare and Medicaid. Because if you look at the increase in expenses in those items, the aging of America, the cost of health care, the promised benefits of Medicare, the expansion of Medicaid through Obamacare, we're looking at a much larger hole than Social Security.
Yeah, that's why I think so, too. And with people living longer, I think the average age is in the higher 80s now.
Yes.
So, you know, life expectancy has changed. So it's almost like everything else is going to need to adjust.
Right.
Also, and like you're saying, putting some structure in place, some checkpoints and such. But, yeah, that's all for consideration. And I can only imagine you're able to help everyone in every stage because you have to think younger when you have the kids, you're planning for college. And then when you're in your 40s and 50s, you're paying for college, but you're also saving for retirement. And
sure.
So it's balancing life all the way through, I think.
It is. It is. And you cannot just put a bunch of numbers in a financial calculator and that's your plan.
We can't predict how long we'll live, right?
Exactly. Cannot predict how long we're going to live, and life is full of unexpected changes and surprises. You cannot make a plan that's going to be guaranteed to be successful without any adjustments. You have to be able to make adjustments. I love baseball and sports and things, and you need to make adjustments on the field and in your plan and change your lineup and get different players in there and all those types of things if you're going to be a manager that's successful.
And also, I think it's constant change. It's re-strategizing every day. That's a big word I use, but I use that professionally. I use it personally, and I use it with God. How are we going to better ourselves each day?
Right.
And better ourselves for our family? And that can be financially, personally, or professionally. But, you know, giving so many opportunities of time and talents and finances, how do we juggle all this without dropping the ball?
Yeah.
That's
a great question. As we go through this journey, I'm just going to pick up on one word that you said, professional. I'm a big believer in working with professionals. Quite honestly, when you're in your 20s and if you're picking out some investments, you know, you've got 45 years, whatever, and something happens, you know, you've got time to make up for it. As you get further down the road, you may not have the time to put into doing the research and the planning or the expertise. And I think it's important to work with professionals. A great example, my son's 21 years old, my youngest son. And he was driving my wife's car, and his buddy was with him. They came back and said, "Oh, you need brake pads. We'll put them in for you if you like, but you just pay for the brake pads." When I was 20 years old, I would have done that. At this point in life, I'd rather pay a professional.
Yeah, absolutely. They can get it done at a faster pace, a more reasonable cost instead of struggle and be much safer. I agree. Doug, please let our audience know how they can get in touch with you to help with any financial needs that they have.
Sure, absolutely. I encourage people to visit our website, which is mfbwm.com. It stands for My Father's Business Wealth Management, mfbwm.com. And call the office anytime, 215-723-8999. Again, we do not charge for an initial sit down in any way. I feel that we can help anybody. We don't work with everybody that we meet, but I know that I can help guide people. So 215-723-8999.
And what is your service area, Doug?
Well, I actually have clients that are in Alaska and in Florida and California, but our sweet spot is the Montgomery County, Berks County, Bucks County, Delaware County, southeastern Pennsylvania.
That's great. You can Skype them. You can probably
absolutely. Yes. I do that.
Yes, absolutely. So we are here today with Doug Floro. He's the certified financial planner and president of MFB Wealth Management. We thank you for being here today, Doug. Thank you.
Hey, this was fun. Thank you.
Yes, we thank you for helping us lead a financial balanced life. I am Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing. Thank you.
Be my source, be my life, Jesus.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801. A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.